In 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the RecordNet Newsroom podcast. I'm your host, reporter Bob Highfill, and it's my pleasure to have with us on this bittersweet podcast about Van Buskirk Golf Course. We have County District 1 Supervisor, Chairman of the San Joaquin County Board of Supervisors, Miguel Villapudua. His brother is with us today, who's played many a round here at Van Buskirk, Andy Villapudua. We also have Miguel's Chief of Staff, Chris Ruppe, family friend and golfer here at Van Buskirk, Ray Romo, and the gentleman we want to start our discussion with, Mr. Jose Santiago, who his history is synonymous with Stockton Golf, especially this golf course, where Jose, you were the pro for so many years, but you were here at the very beginning when this golf course opened. Can you tell us about those days?
And Bob Warner and myself opened the golf course up on April 28, 1961. Bob Warner was very well known in the city. Bob Warner was really the pro, but he took me in the partnership, so I was a co-pro with him. And I was here for 40 years, and I've been retired since December of 2001, December 2001. Now I spend all my time at Swenson Park, BSing for the guys and having some coffee. Yes.
Yes. It doesn't sound too bad.
And it's been great out here, really. We had a lot of good people play golf out here, and I had a lot of fun, and we all did, really. I know they said I was a little mean, but that the heck, that takes care of that.
You kept us in line.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
They said to keep them in line.
Well, you know, when
I enjoy everybody.
When things happen like this, we get a little nostalgic, and I've heard some stories today. One from your daughter, who said that you would bark at her from the from the starter's desk when she was on the first tee. Get your feet closer together.
Well, you got to get them going the right way.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what are some of your fondest memories about your time here at Van Buskirk?
Well, I had a good time, but I mean, they were all good memories, as far as I'm concerned. They're all good memories. Nice. I enjoy coming to work every day. I mean, about 100% of the deal, you know. But you enjoy the people. Yeah. Enjoy working for the city. Had no problem with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not much more I can say.
Yeah, excellent. So, Andy Villapudua, tell us about this golf course, what it's meant to you and your family, and kind of the emotions running through you today.
Well, we came out here yesterday at 6 in the morning. It was a tradition. And my father had started playing golf, I think, in the early 60s and late 60s, early 70s. Lee Trevino was, you know, on the rise. You know, he's a, you know, famous Hispanic golfer. You know, a lot of the Mexicans were proud to have someone who could challenge, you know, Jack Nicklaus at the time, who was, you know, the Golden Bear. So we started playing out here when we were 7, 8 years old. All my brothers did. And most of the Hispanics that were, you know, in the community, they started all playing. And you'd have a convergence of, you know, fathers with their sons. And, you know, we'd be playing, learning how to play golf. And they show us etiquette. It was really a place where you came to, you know, they were showing you how to be a man, how to compete, how to have a good time, how to gamble a little bit, you know. And afterwards, they'd all sit around, drink beers, and play cards and putt for dollars.
Yeah.
And you could come out, and so for a, you know, 30-year period, you'd come out here, and your uncles would be out here, and they'd be putting for dollars, and they'd watch you play. And, you know, there was one time where Miguel was playing golf with Steve Coffey, and we had his uncles following him around, and he walks up to Miguel and he goes, "Hey, Miguel, tell your buddy Steve, he's never going to be a pro. He's not good."
So, tell us who Steve Coffey is.
Steve Coffey is he's a teacher that was taught at Lincoln. We went to high school together into Franklin. And he's a teacher at Lincoln for 10 years. He was a girls basketball coach. Great guy. He's teaching in Russia right now, and he's coming back next year, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, awesome. Teaching in Moscow. Yeah.
Teaching in Moscow.
So, that's fantastic. Before I lose my train of thought, you mentioned Lee Trevino. So whenever I would come in here, I'd see that picture of Lee Trevino on the wall inside the golf shop. Tell us the story behind that photograph of Lee Trevino.
That photograph was taken at Oakport Golf Course. Lee did an exhibition over there of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And Somebody took the photograph and they gave it to me.
Gave it to you.
That's how we got the Trevino
Up. Right, yeah. Because I think Oakmore used to have pros go there and
they
play.
Had one, yeah. They had one year, I think, about the first year or so they opened, they had a pro-am, which Billy Casper won, and he was there.
Yeah, wow.
Billy Casper. Right. Yeah, Billy Casper. Yeah, he was there, he won.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, Jose has a... you know, rich tradition. He was a famous golfer. And there was another gentleman that I think, with all due respect, I think we should mention as well, is Ernie Godina. Ernie Godina was, you know, he'd come out here. And as Ed mentioned, your Bob is, you could, we're humble Hispanics. And, you know, you didn't have money to play. You'd walk in, Jose would say, son, you got money to hit balls? And you'd say, no. And you go grab some balls. Ernie would follow you and say, hey, you're doing this wrong. He'd show you how to swing the club. You know, he'd show you how to, you know, hey, here's how you set up. You know, so to have Jose yelling at his daughter is kind of funny. You know, it reminded me of Ernie would say, "Put your hand in." He wouldn't. You know, tell you move it. He'd slap it. You know, your hand, loosen it up. And you'd be like, "Man, I don't even know this guy that well, and he's hitting me." But they were great guys. You know, you could, you know, like Miguel mentioned earlier, you'd come out here and needed a tea time. Right. There's 10 of us. You know, we wanted to have just fun, just, you know, kids. And we'd have our own skins game. We learned from the old guys. Hey, everybody puts up. We're a dollar hole.
Yeah.
And it was good times.
Jose's legendary skins games.
Yeah.
He carried that tradition on from here to Oakmore.
To Oakmore, we had to play a day after Thanksgiving. We had a group everywhere. We always had about 60 players over there.
Yeah, you had good times. Ray Romo is joining us now. And Ray, kind of tell us who you are, where you're from, and what's going through your mind today.
Yeah, I'm from Stockton. And going through my mind, you look this way, and you know, you see the golf course still, people playing, and it's like, beautiful. It's like what it's supposed to be. Then you look to the left, and it's overgrown and ugly and not taken care of. So you start, you try to think about the good, but then you start thinking about the future, because you know it's leaving us.
Right.
And then the other thought is, you know, the days we came out here and you know, there's our youth in the summer that Jose and Ernie would let us play after their shift was over, I guess. They would let us play, and they would close up, and they would literally say, hey, make sure you lock the gate on the way out. And we would not want to go home, maybe. We would stay out here to 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, depending what day of the week it was, and putt, chip, and putting for dollars, skins, and good camaraderie. And we locked up, and it was almost a sense of responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. Take care of something to take care of, lock up, and in return, we get to play.
Yeah. No, that's a great point you brought up, is that sense of responsibility that was put on you guys. And you knew that if something happened, you didn't lock the gate or did something on the course that you shouldn't have, it was going to come back on you. And that teaches responsibility at a young age.
And obviously, sooner or later, the city, obviously put a stop to it.
Yeah.
You can't be out there.
A darn liability.
Yes, and you know, insurance. You asked where I was from, you know, growing up in East Stockton and going to Franklin and Montezuma and Hamilton and golf wasn't something we even thought about.
Yeah.
You know, until, you know, the first day we came out here and played, it was like, wow, this is fun, it's exciting, it's challenging, it was everything.
Right.
Everything was fun.
Absolutely. Miguel, thanks for being here, and I know you've got a lot to say.
Right.
I'm sure.
Right. You know what, just you know, like Ray said, you look around and you can look at the history, and I think about, you know, my dad and all his friends running around here. I was 5 years old when he was bringing me out here, and I would, you know, shag balls for him, and you know, like Andy said, all my uncles, and you know, and this golf course, you play the game, it will teach you a lot of life lessons, and you know, it teaches you how to get along with your buddies, male bonding, you know, male etiquette, you know, it's a great game, and it's unfortunate that all the kids in South Stockton aren't going to be able to enjoy this course like we did. Right. You know, when I went to Franklin, you know, playing on the golf team, and Ray, Rob Reyna, you know, John Levis, you know, Keith Lopez, you know, we all, you know, we started playing Van Bustard, and we bonded. I mean, we're still brothers, you know, we still talk, about the old times and playing golf. And it's sad, because it's, a lot of kids aren't going to be able to enjoy what we did.
Yeah. Ray mentioned that the back nine, which used to be the front nine, wasn't it?
Back
originally?
It was 9 holes, yeah.
Yeah. And it was 9 holes. That was what then became the back nine. It's been closed for a while, and it's, as Ray described, if you haven't seen it, it's really overgrown. And I think people who are voting about the future of Brookside's golf course maybe should come over here and take a look and see how quickly things can change if you don't maintain a golf course. But so it has been kind of a slow decline, and maybe you could explain to people who maybe don't know, and I don't mean to catch you off guard here, but how have we kind of gotten to this point?
Well, apparently, you know, like you said, a lot of people don't play golf nowadays, and Swenson and Van Buster were, you know, they belong to the city, and they're losing money. And to keep it open, you know, Mayor Tubbs decided, hey, you know what, we might have to close the golf courses, and it created an uproar. But it saved Swenson in that regard because, you know, in North Stockton, you know, they care. I'm not saying they don't care about Van Buster, but a lot more people care in North Stockton than they do about South Stockton because, you know, they would have town halls about Swenson. There were no town halls about Van Buster. If there were, they were very small. And at the end of the day, the city council decided that, yeah, we can keep Swenson open, but Van Buster, we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate for everybody in South Stockton, especially the children, especially the kids who won't get the opportunity to play this beautiful course and to learn how to play golf because golf's an expensive game. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And I guess some of the repairs would have been like to the irrigation system.
That is
or
true.
Some other stuff, and then just general upkeep. Over.
Right. And there's no doubt about it. To keep a golf course up, it takes a lot of money, a mm-hmm. lot of maintenance, and a right. lot of time and money. And I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How closely are you working with the city on maybe a future plan for this? Because if folks don't know, the Van Buskirk family, I don't know if I'm using the yep. right terminology, deeded this property to the city with the caveat that it must be recreational purpose.
Yes, I sit on Parks and Rec board, and you know what, they're thinking of ideas of what to do with the property, but right now it's a funding issue, and right now they're talking about emptying the ponds and filling the ponds up with dirt for a safety issue. We don't want kids, you know, jumping in the water and so forth and what could happen. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to come up with some good ideas of what to do with the property. It's a beautiful piece of property. So like my brother Andy said, I think it'd be a great idea for maybe soccer fields. Keep kids off the streets, keep them busy.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping to do. I mean, that's the most important thing is to keep kids busy.
Yeah. 219 acres, is that
about it? Wow, 219, yeah. That's a lot. Yeah.
And it's an unusual kind of piece of property, the shape of it, because it's right along the bank of the channel, if I'm right. not mistaken. I'm not sure yep. what this body of water is called, the channel, the delta.
Somewhat right. here.
Yeah, and it kind of goes east-west in a kind of a thin strip. Right. You know, it's not a square parcel or a rectangular yeah. parcel, so that I think that's going to present some challenges.
Yeah. It's a beautiful piece of property,
but
though. It really is.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you want to get your 5 cents? He's shaking his head no. Well, guys, thanks for so much for this opportunity. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. As someone who played a lot of golf here at Van Buskirk over the years, it's a sad day for me, too.
It really is.
And, hey, maybe we'll get out play at Swenson or
Save
someplace
Swenson.
Else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to say Bob. One thing, sure. Bob, is, you know, you had a lot of people here who raised their kids and have really brought back a lot to this community. You know, the Lopez family, they have Anthony Madrid. His son was, I mentioned to you earlier, full ride to UOP soccer. Played 4 years.
UOP golf.
Yeah, UOP golf. I'm sorry, UOP golf. And there's countless number of, you know, what I call, you know, from our community, our side of it, the Hispanic
Paul
side.
Hernandez
is Paul yeah. Hernandez. He was our roommate. He played at San Jose State. He was the number 3 man golfer. There are countless guys who raise kids who have given back to this community. And it's, you know, it was a place where they would all get together. And as Miguel mentioned, you go to number 9 and there's a bench out there. And I forget, it's a Bob, it's a Ara Palmer quote, but it was dedicated to one of the golfers here. And he basically stated, you know, you learn to play golf and you learn not to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real sign of a gentleman. And I remember when we used to walk around, this course was our course. We fixed divots. You know, Mr. Fernandez was the greenskeeper. These were some of the finest greens around. And this is our place. And it was really a place where you could, you know, I used to, you
so
know,
you really
I
did brought, fix yeah. all the divots.
Yeah, we used to all bring our kids and we would all bring
were
our
they
kids.
Mine?
Would bring our kids and it was a place where you could go, okay, we're going to learn. Mm-hmm. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's tragic. But like you said, Red, great things come to an end.
Yeah.
Well, say
so thank you.
Any final words?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah.
We did fix those divots because we want to keep coming out and playing.
Bob, we want to thank you and the record for actually coming out here showing some respect to Van Buskirk here because it truly is an amazing place. And
yeah, it's worth noting.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
We want to come back, Jose. So